Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio.
Welcome back to another week of the show. Happy to be here with you. I'm Mark in San Diego, and we have a special guest host today for Beth, who is on vacation or special assignment or something. Todd Nunnally in. Todd, how are you doing? Where are you at today? Are you in Louisiana?
Oh, doing great. Yes, sir. In home of Louisiana.
This is what I like to call the post-tax day. Did you pay your taxes yet? Have you paid them?
Let me tell you something. The last minute. I mean, I waited to the last, very last minute.
So did I.
Oh.
So did I. I posed because, you know, it's funny, you know, working for myself, working for a few different people, I get the 1099s and, and so I have to pay. So I never get any money back. And so I'm like, you, man, I posted that thing online on April 15th at about 11:57 p.m.
Exactly. We hold into the last minute, boy. I tell you, it drives me crazy. But hey, it's done.
It's done. Hey, I know you're doing well. Thanks for stepping in for Beth. You were a guest a few weeks ago, and we liked you so much that we decided to. You know, like when you're a kid and you're maybe 11 or 12. And you're sitting at the kids' table, and you kind of wonder what's going on at the grown-up table, and then the following year, you're eating your Thanksgiving meal with the big table, and then man, this is not all what it's cracked up to be. I probably should go back to the kids' table.
Exactly.
So how does it feel to be at the?
Well, you know, hey, Beth was honest with me. She told me that she'd reached out to at least a dozen other people, and.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do it. So she said, "You're my last choice,"
You were lucky 13.
Yeah, I told her, "Hey, we'll jump right on it." So,
hey, I wanted to talk. we're gonna have one of your friends on here in a little bit, Jason, who's a wrestler, and we taped the interview. The guy's incredible. But you know, one of the things I want to talk about, and I was thinking about it this last weekend. And you know, I know you're a trainer and you train people, but kind of a message about positive thinking. So I tried this thing this last weekend where, and I don't have a lot of bad things going on in my life. I'm pretty normal guy out here in California, but I tried this thing over the weekend where I said, you know what? I'm not going to worry about any kind of negative thing in my life. So it was kind of a mental wellness type thing. And I said, you know, I'm just going to go out. I'm going to spend the weekend, walk the dog, maybe cook, umpire a few baseball games, relax. And it's amazing to me how much better I felt on a Monday morning when I did that. It was kind of like a complete battery recharge. And then because we know that, you know, sometimes Monday through Friday can just stink. I mean, at least have a day or two to kind of get all the negative energy. Because we all have something, whether it's financial or health, or kids or relationships. We all have something.
Right.
So how important is it for you to, am I crazy for wanting to do that?
No, absolutely not. Yeah. And me, I'm high strung anyway. My blood pressure tends to run a little bit up there. So I'm always I haven't found that exact answer, but you know, like you said, stress relief, whatever it is, different people have different ways. For me, it's, you know, it's getting out in the yard. It's mowing the grass. It's taking care of the yard. I've always, always enjoyed that. And for me, that's, you know, that's my time. I can get out, you know, mind can start to wander a little bit, and you can get off all the day-to-day things that grind on your mind, and just, you know, focus on simple things in life. And it helps. I enjoy it. I mean, I feel relaxed after I get an opportunity to work out in the yard.
Now, do you take a lot of work home with you? Are you?
Well, it depends. We're kind of always going with our department, because we've always got, you know, as long as we've got employees working wherever they're working, we're always, you know, maintaining and keeping up with them, et cetera. So, you know, from time to time, I mean, it's not like, you know, we're at home working for the next 7 hours, then we'll come back tomorrow and do it again. No, we just as needed and deal with it. And then some of the other guys, Sage, our director now, you know, he's 24/7 that, you know, he's could be dealing with whatever comes up, you know. So not necessarily that's the way it is all the time, but if we're extremely busy, it can get that way.
Are you a guy that's always on your phone texting? Are you that guy?
No. I detest social media. No, I'm kidding. I have two kids. You know, how can you not? You know, they take such a nice feature, or, you know, a phone, and you know, by the time I've been around them for about 2 hours, you know, I hate all social media, and, you know, it's the devil, you know.
you're not the kind of guy that takes a picture of his lunch and posts it on Facebook?
Hey, no, I am not. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have a Facebook. I've never had any type of social media like that. I don't know anything about Snapchat or other than what my kids have mentioned. I don't. Now they make up for it, though. My kids make up for it. They've had all of it, and my wife has, of course, the Facebook and keeping up with the family and things like that. So I let them do that. No, that would just be added stress to me to have to maintain that status, you know.
So if I bought you a selfie stick, you wouldn't use it?
No. Oh, that'd be greatness, though. No, nobody, you know, be honest with you, nobody in my immediate family has one. They never have. I don't know. That's I've seen commercials. I've seen people have them, but.
It's the dumbest thing ever.
I've never even seen one.
I mean, when you see the picture of the family there in front of Mickey Mouse at Disneyland. And you got to, you know what, though, you have to say it's a great business, because how many, I mean, millions of people would buy one of them, because people are too lazy to even reach their hand out. They have to have a stick.
That's right. Right. Or to do what they used to do back in the day and ask somebody that's walking by, hey, will you take a picture of my family for me?
That's why they invented it. That's exactly why they invented it, so people don't have to have that embarrassing, hey, will you take my picture in front of, you know, Thunder Mountain?
That's right. You just think about how many times, I've been asked many a times being on trips and vacations throughout time, hey, will you take this picture for us, you know? So, you know, that's just, that's the old school. Now, you're right, you don't have to talk to anybody now. You can stay and take your own picture with your family and not have to ask.
That's right. Hey, we're gonna get in now. We have Jason Dupree. We great guy, incredible story. So we recorded this a couple days ago, and let's go ahead and play that interview right now. And we are rolling along again on a Wednesday. As I think this is the third month we've been doing the show. As I mentioned earlier, Beth is on vacation, getting a little R&R, doing what she does on her time off. I'm in here now with Todd Nunnally, who is filling in. He was a guest before, but now he's at the main table now. We're going to get to more about with him in just a second. But if you want to call the show, of course, you can call us at 347-324-5246. If you want to email us, it's goingjimfree@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at ALR Radio. Also, like us on Facebook, and you can listen to the show, obviously, online at AtlantaLifeRadio.com. Todd, you have a special guest, a friend of yours that works with you, Jason Dupree. Jason, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate you coming on. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about, and I know Todd's just going to kind of jump in here too with questions and comments and funny stories probably. You work by day, I think, with Todd, is that right? But then you travel around and you're a professional wrestler. I just want to know the background. I want to know the story. So just take it from here.
Well, Mark, how long do we have?
you can keep rambling, man. Just go for it.
No, that's correct. I work with Todd here at Performance Energy in Houma, Louisiana, which is one of my full-time jobs. Takes a good bit of my day. We usually start 6 o'clock in the morning and wrap up 4:30, could be later. But you know, my day starts way before that, Mark. I'd say about 3:15, I wake, head to the gym, do usually about an hour of cardio, sometimes hour and a half, just whatever I feel. Some days I feel fatter than others, but yeah, and then from there, it's, like I said, you know, usually at least a 10-hour work day. And right now I'm training about 3 days a week as far as weightlifting. So Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays are usually lift days, which after my 10-hour day of work, I usually head to the gym for about an hour and a half, two-hour lift program.
And I have to ask you this. I know Todd's sitting right there too. And Todd was a football coach and a football player. If you guys were to get on the floor and wrestle right now, who would win, you think?
Oh, hands down. Well, can we use chairs and tables? That's all I need to know.
Yes. You can use all the props you want.
Well, listen, I know what Jason looks like, and I know how he works out, and you know, let's just say I'm not gonna go there right now, okay?
I think he's trying to book a match.
No, he's
been coming to wrestling.
Hey, I'm sore when I sleep at night. You know, I get up in the morning, I'm hurt. So it amazes me, and that's why I talk to Jason all the time, because of the coordination he has to put into maintaining. You know, he's also a family man, so he's trying to negotiate family, work, and then second work, additional job that he has, and then in the mix, you know, all the requirements of you know, staying in shape, and we often talk about what he has to do to work out and prevent injury, you know, try to, you know, keep himself from getting hurt in the ring, and, you know, which could affect his other job that he has as well. So a lot of working out, coordination of time, things like that come into play, and it's fascinating, because me, that was what was hard. All the time when you talk to people about working out, that's the first thing you hear is a reason why they can't, is because of time. You know, they don't have the time, or you know, they have their family or this and that. And it comes down to, you know, prioritizing and setting your schedule and trying to make it happen. And you can hear now he's going far beyond what I could do. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm not even thinking about working out. But
most people aren't.
Right. Hey, how Jason, how did you get kind of into wrestling? I mean, how did that become something that you've kind of made a second career with? How did this whole motivation get going?
Well, you know, my dad was part of the wrestling business back in the 80s. And, you know, a lot of people can tell you they remember watching their first match and this and that, and that's what turned it on, what turned them on to wrestling. But for me, I can't ever remember not being a part of the wrestling business and wanting to do it. And there came a time I was, I think, 13 or 14, and just wouldn't leave my dad alone about wanting to train, and just wasn't something that he really wanted, a direction he wanted me to go. And he's like, you know, I won't do it. And I kept on and on and on, and finally approached one of his friends. And, you know, my dad was like, well, if he wants to do it, you can train him. I won't. So at about 14, I actually started training to become a professional wrestler.
Wow, that's crazy. Hey, you know, a lot of people that are involved in things like wrestling, and I did, you know, I did martial arts for a number of years. You know, the maybe the kids that go into high school wrestling or that kind of workout or that kind of sport. Maybe talk to people about the mental side of it and why it's so good for you mentally, not just because you have to go work out and stay in shape physically, but what have been kind of the mental maybe achievements that come about from doing this kind of training and in that kind of sport? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, a lot of it is mental because, you know, wrestling and the training that it takes to become a wrestler is just something that your mind and your body, you know, right away your mind tells your body, this is just not right, you know. So you have to overcome that. Then you have to, it's very disciplined. You have to be able to live by a schedule, and it teaches you just so much on a personal level. It's really hard to describe, but very, very difficult.
To me, the mental aspect, not to step on Jason here, but it's, tremendous. I just can't imagine the time strains. And Jason has small children at this time. So a lot, you know, it's not like me. Mine are old enough to handle themselves. So he's, to me, it's maintaining that family and that connection, and then still managing to. I just can't imagine, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning when the alarm's going off, what kind of mental toughness you have to even get up out of bed at that time when you probably, you know, you may not have gone to bed, you know, a few hours ago.
No, and you know, that's exactly right. Just for instance, I did a show here in New Orleans, Louisiana on Saturday, wrestled again last night. Here in Houma on a local show, and you know, that alarm clock went off at 3 o'clock this morning, 3:15 actually, and you know, I'm beat up, I'm sore, and it's just one of those things. But I know I have to, because you know, believe it or not, it's a little weird to be in I guess you guys would call it a speedo in front of hundreds, sometimes thousands, tens of thousands of people. So, you know, you definitely want to look your best, and it all comes in play, and it's all a big mental game.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm sure you probably look better in a speedo than I would, or probably, I don't know. I've never seen Todd, but probably you probably look better than Todd in a speedo.
Hey, Mark, I'm in a speedo right now.
Is that right? Oh, that's good. Well,
I'm in character.
Thank God it's radio and not television. That's
right. You got that right.
He's got a body made for radio.
Yeah. Hey, kind of on that point, Jason, and maybe you can kind of talk about it a little more. How are you able to, and Todd kind of touched on this a second ago, but how are you able to maintain the work-life balance that so many people try to do? And you're really pushing it to them. You almost have no free time at all. How do you balance everything?
In all honesty, I have a great wife, to be honest with you, a great wife who's very supportive and motivates me, but, it's not easy. It's really not easy because, of course, you know, like I said, I have this full-time job, 10 hours a day, a lot of times 50, 60 hours a week. And then, you know, to not be home that much, and then on top, whenever I'm gone, sometimes it can be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, to not be away from them. It's really hard. And then on top of that, to get a workout in, which that's kind of me and my wife's time, because she enjoys working out too. So that's kind of our alone time. We get to spend time in the gym together, and you know, get to talk together. So that's a big help.
Do you have any, and this is a question I get asked a lot when I talk to people about health and wellness. You're kind of an extreme guy, obviously getting beat up in the ring, and you're probably sore a lot. But for people that are just kind of getting back even to, you know, the simplest forms of working out and trying to stay healthy, do you have any tips on how you recover from a tough match or when you're beat up? Or what do you think is the best way? I mean, obviously you're a wrestler and you're getting your brains beat in sometimes, but how does your body recover? How do you feel? If you had to give advice to people, how they can feel better after a hard workout, I mean, what would you say to that?
For me, chiropractor is one of my best friends. But you know, believe it or not, the biggest thing for me, more than working out, lifting weights, doing cardio, is flexibility and stretching. That is the number one thing. A lot of people don't realize, you know, even before I lift weights or do cardio, I'm always stretching.
Very important.
Yeah. I tell that to people all the time. You know, the older I got, the more I was the same thing, man. The more I got into stretching and all things like that, because once you get that injury, like I had a hamstring / like hip issue that, I mean, if you don't address that through some kind of stretching or routine maintenance, it's brutal. And as you get into your 40s, it just, those injuries don't seem to go away. It's horrible.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I actually got that from wrestling in Japan and training in Japan, because I would just be sore. And I was just like, God, these guys, talking about the Japanese guys, they can just go forever. And what's the secret? And then I started picking up and watching what they did. And they were always, I don't mean just like light stretching. They would probably stretch 20, 30 minutes and just ungodly stretching. And I was like, I started doing it, and it made a big difference really quick.
Yeah. Hey, Todd, I was going to ask you this. So you work closely with Jason, and obviously one of the big things now that we talk about is employee wellness and keeping people healthy and all of those good things that a lot of people forget to do with their companies, and we know all that. But does someone like Jason – how does that, and Todd, you can answer this, you know, how does that influence other employees when they see a guy, and I'm sure Jason's super fit and all that. Is it nice to have guys like that around that can maybe, you know, rub off on other guys? We're not saying that all your employees are going to go out and be wrestlers, but how does that help other employees?
Oh, I think it helps tremendously because, you know, when you're working around it, you have examples. You see the benefits that that are out there when you work out and eat healthy. You know, I know Jason and there's a couple other guys on the yard that, you know, they have their Tupperware dishes with the baked chicken or the boiled chicken, and you know, they have their meals and that they'll bring here, and they'll eat to help supplement and stay on the diet program their own, and it does. I mean, it can't help but lend to others seeing that and wanting to try to emulate or you know, try to achieve that. And that's big in what we talked about a couple of weeks ago when we were talking. You know, it's got to be an internal decision to eat right. It's got to be an internal decision to go work out and do that. But, you know, ultimately you can get to that decision by outside influence, right? By motivation, by seeing people who motivate you, watching people who motivate you, and whatever it takes to get you to that point, you know, it's fine, you know, as long as you get there.
That's right. And not to cut you off, Todd, but it's true. Me and there's a couple other guys like Todd said around here that are really fit, but I don't think there's really a day that goes by where some coworker doesn't walk up and, man, how do you look like that? How do you stay in shape and this and that? So you kind of get that little one-on-one time and start telling them a little bit, and you can just see the lights click on. And I know a few guys who've actually kind of took advice and tried, and it's worked for them.
Right.
And are you giving them – obviously you're not giving everybody advice on like kind of the hardcore training you're doing, but are you just giving maybe other employees maybe a diet tip here, or are you doing even simple things like, hey, man, you need to go walk for 20 minutes, or what are you giving them simple tips all the time? Is it that kind of thing?
Correct. It's simple tips. And, you know, I got a lot of guys that come up to me, man, you know, what's the diet you want? Can you write that for me? And my advice is always, I don't live by a diet. I live by a way of life. You know, there's so many diets and fads out these days, you know, do this and it'll work. But for me, you know, everybody's body is different. So you got to find what works for you. Now, I can tell you, you know, maybe you need to cut your carbs out, or sugar carbs, or, you know, pick up your healthy fats, or eat a little bit more protein. But I'm not a big believer on, you know, diets or whatever. You know, counting calories, whatever the new trend is. But I'll give them tips and stuff to try. and a little bit of workout advice. Of course, like you said, I wouldn't give them my workouts, but, you know, something to get them started, whether it's walking treadmills or little light weightlifting programs or whatever.
Do you find, Jason and Todd, you can jump in here too. And Todd, I think we kind of talked about this when you were on the show. Do you find that you're working with a lot of other people out there that I'm sure they love your story as a wrestler, but do you find that you do work with a lot of people that are really at square one when it comes to health and fitness and wellness? And you're just trying to help them get motivated just to even get the ball rolling. Are people really right at the beginning that you work with?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. You know, yes, probably 85-90%, you know, not to say that they hadn't somewhere along the line, you know, tried or done or may have successfully gone through and lost and then gained back or they're battling some other type of health-related issue. But, yeah, you see that for sure, and that was the thing. You know, since Beth's been involved, you hear the talk and you hear people talking about it, and it's in the air. And you know, there's not a day go by that you're not talking about health, nutrition, wellness of some form or fashion that's around. So it's there and it's being talked about, and people are engaged in discussions and asking questions and you know, going for advice to people who they know practice it on a daily basis. Sage, our HSE directors, and you know, he's lost several pounds in the last, you know, 3 or 4 months, I guess, that he's been in the program. And so, you know, we're talking about it, you know, and then you go outside where Jason's, you know, interacting with guys, like you said, just come up to him and ask him questions. I go to him and talk about weight room and stuff as far as my kids are concerned. And so it's good. I mean, that's how you start. You generate conversation and, you know, hopefully, you know, provide help for people that need it.
And, you know, especially around this time of year, not to say it gets scary for us, but, you know, here in South Louisiana, it gets very hot, and those months are approaching. So we really start as supervisors and Todd as safety and training, start getting on the guys a little bit about hydration, you know, taking care of yourself, because, you know, it gets hot and you're working with iron all day, which makes it even hotter. So it's a really good time of year to start talking health and safety and awareness.
Yeah.
I have to ask you, since you're a wrestler, I want to get to a kind of a fun portion here, because I remember when I must have been 10 or 11 or 12, my dad took me to a World Wrestling Federation match at the Sports Arena in San Diego, and it had all of the big name guys there. It had Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, you know, Rowdy Roddy Piper, Superfly Snuka, all these like legendary. I mean, when wrestling was, I mean, it was huge. And as a kid, even in Southern California, I know you were a Texas guy, and I don't know if it was bigger there, but it was huge here. And I remember watching it on TV all the time, and then I finally went, and I thought, as a kid, that might have been the greatest thing ever to go to, was a World Wrestling Federation match. I never got it personally, never got into wrestling myself, but I enjoyed the sport. I thought it was so much fun to watch on TV and follow these guys. What was there a guy that motivated you? I mean, did you sit down in front of the TV like a lot of kids on Saturday and Sunday mornings and just kind of stare at the TV and go, man, this is the coolest freaking thing ever? Because that's kind of how I thought about it when I was a kid watching it. Tell me your story about that.
Oh, definitely, you know, and then coming from kind of a wrestling family, it wasn't just sitting in the TV on Saturday morning. It was actually being at the show in a locker rooms with these guys. Guys like Junkyard Dog, you know, Mr. Wrestling, Mr. Olympia, Ted DiBiase. To pick one guy who I could say was my favorite, it's kind of hard. I was a really big Ric Flair fan. You know, and I actually got to later in my wrestling career, I moved to Missouri and started working with Harley Race, who I learned so much from and became like a second father to me. And while I was there, I ended up running his school, his wrestling school, and got to train Ricky Steamboat Jr. and Reed Flair, who has passed on, but Reed Flair, which was Ric Flair's youngest son. So, yeah, I was really big Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat fan.
Oh, that's funny. Did you ever see the movie The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke? Oh, I thought
yes,
it was really
good.
Was that a pretty good a depiction of how the world of wrestling? I mean, I know it's a movie or Hollywood and all that stuff, but I thought that was a pretty good. I hope that didn't expose too much of an underbelly of wrestling, because
I know what you mean. I wasn't a fan of it because it exposed it, but it exposed it for the wrong things, and it was so much really over-exaggerated stuff, you know. It made it seem like every wrestler, you know, takes pills and this and that, and, you know, that
right.
was one thing I always lived by. I wasn't going to let wrestling ruin my morals, you know. I was going to be a family man, straight up, no drugs, you know. And it just left, for me, a bad taste, because I know there's some really great guys out there. Of course, there's bad guys, but there's bad guys in everything.
Yeah.
We deal with them out here on our regular jobs. But, yeah, it was a good movie for what it was. But as a wrestler, yeah, I had issues with it.
And now, how old are your kids, Jason?
My oldest is 7. My youngest is 5.
Okay, and are they into what dad's doing? Do they go out and watch you, or are they going to be wrestlers, or what? Are you passing this on to them?
Yeah, I'm not passing it on, but I will. They do. They love wrestling, and that's cool with me. I hope later in life that they choose other avenues, but if it's something they want to do, I'll help them out as much as I can. But I'm really hoping they don't choose that direction, just because I know what my body is going through now, you know, after being almost 20 years professional wrestler. So, but they do, man. They do, Mark. They love wrestling, and they're real supportive of me. If for some reason I lose one night, I can always look back and find my youngest in tears. So, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Hey, Todd, have you gone and seen him? Have you seen him wrestle? Have you seen any of his?
I have.
Wow.
I've checked out some of his stuff, though. You know, checked up on him and you know, see what it's all about and all that. But I keep mum. You know, I that's his persona, and you know, it's. You know, the wrestling thing, you never know, you know, you don't want to out anybody. You don't want to give up, you know, stuff, but it's,
right.
I'd be very interested. We were just talking about the HOMA show that he does and how often he does that. Cause yes, I'd be very interested, cause wrestling in my family, of course, you know, for my kids, it, you know, they weren't into it as much as, you know, I was when I was a young kid, and I remember my grandfather, you know, in his 60s and 70s, by gosh, their vacation was going to be going to Atlanta, Georgia, and he was going to watch wrestling.
Oh,
because,
yeah,
I mean, he was a diehard fan. I mean, Sundays at our house was usually NFL, and
yeah.
His papa was in town.
Right.
And he sat down recliner and grabbed the remote. It was going on wrestling. And he would holler at the TV, and he would holler at him. And I'll never forget it. It was
Don't you guys out there, aren't you the kind of guys that like wrestle alligators and all that? Is that you, or is that just a TV? Is that just a swamp people? See, I used to live, Jason. I used to live in Louisiana, so.
Sorry. No, we're not wrestling alligators. No, they're not paying me enough for that. No.
Would I guess the question is, would you wrestle an alligator? Would you do that for television for us?
if we could tape his mouth shut,
yeah,
tape his feet, and a whole heck of a lot of money, I would think about it. But,
yeah.
But there's my better half who would probably tell me it's not such a good idea.
Now,
but,
let me ask you, maybe this can the last question, then we can wrap it up. How long will you be able to do this? I mean, I know you're probably in great shape and all that. You maybe don't have an answer, but how long can you go ahead? What's kind of the shelf life for you? How long can you keep doing this?
You know, I get asked that question often, more times than I want to have to answer it. But, you know, I really don't know. Right now I feel great. Tomorrow can be a different story. I've had my injuries, my broken bones and stuff, and I know later on that'll catch up with me. But I don't see a time right now where I can say in a year I'm gonna shut it down. I really don't know. I feel good. I still love to get in the ring, and you know, as long as it doesn't interfere with my day job and supporting my family, I'm gonna go as long as I can.
Yeah, yeah. What's the worst injury you've had from it?
Probably my broken ankle that shut me down for a few months, which left me with plates and screws in my left ankle.
Oh my God! Yeah, and when you did that, did your wife say, "All right, man, this is it, you're done"? Did she kibosh it, or does she just know that you're not giving it up?
No, matter of fact, when that happened, I was only wrestling at the time. We, you know, that was my full-time job, and she was just like, "Oh God, what do we do now?" I was like, "Don't worry, you know, I'm not just a wrestler. You know, I can also sit behind and help produce TV and do other stuff." So I just kind of fell into a role for a few months until I was able to get back in the ring. And of course, the company I was working for, I won't mention their names, but
sure.
they took care of me, so it wasn't that bad. But you know, before we wrap this up.
Yeah,
your whole title caught me, you know, going gym free, and I knew because we deal with so many guys, I get off of work, I don't have time, I'm too tired.
Yeah.
But not to toot my own horn, I just look at my lifestyle and you know, working two jobs, maintaining a family, there's no such thing to me as no time. And going gym free to me means so much, because with the way I work and, of course, the travel, you know, when I'm going airports and stuff, a lot of times I don't have time to go to a gym. I'll carry,
mm-hmm.
you know, some bands, some cables with me or something. And just as long as you would get up and get your body moving, do something, you know, there's so much that you can do and you don't need a gym, but that will benefit you so much. So, you know, the excuses to me, I just can't take them. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but there's something that you can do to get healthy. Because it's like a car, right? It's preventive maintenance.
Right.
If you don't, you know, do the preventive maintenance on your car or whatever you have, it's going to shut down. And your body is the exact same way. If you don't take care of it, you only have one. It's going to shut down. And when it starts shutting down, you know, there's medical bills, you know, health scares, whatever it may be. So I just kind of...
Well, okay. No, and we appreciate that, and you're exactly right. And so, you know, Todd and I have talked about this, and when I talk to people that are clients of mine, I preach just what you're saying. For me, I follow it, walking. I follow the get 10,000 steps a day. That's kind mm-hmm. of my thing. And if you're not doing some kind of movement, it to me, it's like the same thing as saying I'm not going to brush my teeth today. So
right.
it has to be a mindset of, I need to get out somehow, you know, get my steps in, move around a little bit, maybe substitute a soda for a bottle of water. I mean, we kind of, when we came up with the title for the show, it was really kind of, I was practicing, you know, I was preaching what I practice. And,
right.
and because I'm not a guy, I mean, I was a guy that was an athlete. I played baseball and tennis and martial arts. I did all kinds of things. But I started realizing the more people I met, the more people that they didn't necessarily want to go to the gym, whether they just didn't have the motivation, the time, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought, look, if you like to just go for – just start walking 15 minutes a day. You know, start
right.
calculating your steps. Start doing just a little things, really little, you know, scaled back things. And it's amazing what the results can be, because like you said, the people that don't do that are the ones that drive up the costs, and that's where the type 2 diabetes comes in. But you know, we deal with people all the time that just say, "Look, Mark, I've got two kids. I have no time. I'm stressed. I have a new job. My kids are a pain, blah, you know, everything under the sun." And
right.
I have to come in and tell them like, "Hey, do you have a dog?" And they go, "Yeah." And I say, "Well, take your dog for a walk and turn your phone
yeah,
off for
exactly.
30 minutes.
Exactly. like you just said, you know, my kids are a pain in the ass. Well, guess what? Go outside, you know, grab a ball, throw around a ball with your kids, stay around with your kids. That's exercise,
exactly.
You know, that's doing something.
Well,
exactly.
People automatically equate working out with, you know, 2 hours, you know, an
right.
hour and a half I've got to fit in, you know, when instead of, you know, hey, I can get 15 minutes here or maybe 10,
yeah.
and then I get 15 minutes, you know, this evening before I go to bed or, you know, whatever the case may be.
Just get that heart rate up.
And, you know, the more you move, the better you're going to be. And,
yeah.
you know, it's funny you talk about the 10,000 steps and all that because I think about that when I pull into a store, you know, a business about all the people that are fighting to get the closest spot. And I'm sitting there going, hey, I'm going to park out here and that'll give me time to walk. You know, I get a little extra walking in, you know, but you see everybody wanting that close spot. Just
park around
the parking lot. You'll get 10 minutes in. There you go.
Yeah. Jason, it was good chatting with you. We got to wrap it up. I appreciate it. That was an awesome conversation. I love talking about wrestling. That's great. So thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you. And maybe next time we can do it and maybe get in a little bit more of the actual eating right and kind of stuff like that. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Jason, thanks so much for coming on the show. And we'll be right back.
This is Mel D, and on behalf of the Atlanta Life Radio team, we thank all of our faithful listeners. If this is your first time tuning in, we thank you. Please tell a friend and remember to like us on Facebook, and please come back. A special thank you to all of our financial sponsors because without their financial support, this show would not be made possible. If you are interested in becoming a financial sponsor or would like to learn more on how you can advertise with us, please send our station manager an email, complete with your contact information, to info@AtlantaLifeRadio.com. Again, send an email message of interest, complete with your contact information, to info@AtlantaLifeRadio.com. And now we return back to our program.
And we are back on the show here on a Wednesday night. Just if you're just checking in with us now, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at ALR Radio. Also, like us on Facebook. Send us an email at goingjimfree@gmail.com. And, of course, listen to the show online at AtlantaLifeRadio.com. Todd Nunnally filling in today for Beth. Todd, I guess, you know, Beth, I find this with a lot of people. She's been working on this show for, I don't know, 2 months with me. And I think at that point, anybody would need a break from me. So thanks for filling in for her. She was telling me I might go on vacation, I might do this and that, but really, it's probably like I need a break from this guy. He's just so obnoxious. So
well, I heard she was on like a not a worldwide, but like a statewide Krispy Kreme. She was going to visit each Krispy Kreme donut shop in the Houston, Dallas, that whole sector over there. She was going to go by and get a sample from each one for us.
Yeah, she should. You know what she should do? She should do that. Like we were talking about earlier, she should do that of pictures of her eating donuts and then post them.
Oh, that'd be great.
So like a Krispy Kreme donut she's eating, and then she's got her selfie stick, and it says
there you go.
Krispy Kreme on Route 9 in Hooks, Texas, or something like that.
Hey, I can remember when they came out, and you know, I never knew anything but Krispy Kreme or anything, and they built one. I want to say right outside of, it had to be around Plano area, and right off 75, and I thought it how fascinating you could stand outside and watch the donuts go down a conveyor belt. You know, you can watch the donut go through the grease and then go back around and it's ready to go home with you. You know, it's awesome. So
because everybody needs to know how a donut is made.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really, we didn't think that was a good thing.
Yeah, they want to see it floating in the grease. I mean, that's it.
I don't need to be in the kitchen of a Burger King. We don't need to see that.
Exactly. Just give me the finished product.
Hey, your guy, your interview guy, Jason. Wow.
Yes.
That's a neat guy right there.
And inspirational
and I know you're not getting up at 3 a.m. to work out, are you?
Oh wow, no. No. I'm inspired and I always mess with them. You know, there's several guys, Sage, Babin, our director here, Jason, Jake in the yard that works in the structural shop. I mean, those guys, they get up at, 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning to go work out, and it just blows my mind because I would go at 10 o'clock in the evening, right, at night. I mean, there was time where that was my time because, I was not going to wake up early to go. My body just wouldn't function at that point. And these guys, hats off to them for sacrificing and being dedicated to get up that time in the morning to work out.
Yeah, and he's just an engaging guy. And it's, when you think of that, kind of that lifestyle of traveling and wrestling and being hurt. And I mean, what he must go through to still rally and come to the job and do a good job at work and then go home and be a good parent and a good husband. He's covering all his bases there. That's a pretty incredible guy.
Yeah, it does. It stands out, dedication, that's the thing that stands out to me as far as, if you're going to be able to coordinate and shuffle all those things that you have going on in your life and prioritize and be able to successfully, go through the day or through the week and complete all those tasks and those expectations that are placed on you. And it's just, it takes a lot of, mental makeup. We talked about that a while ago as far as the mental aspect of it. I mean, you're constantly having to motivate yourself and keep that goal in front of you of what you're trying to accomplish. It does. It's dedicated individual to do that for sure. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he is. And remind people that may have not caught you the first time on here. Remind people what your job title is and what you kind of do every day.
Well, here at Performance Energy Services, I work for the training department. So what we do is, either current employees or as new hire employees come through the process, we have a training that we need to either update for them or we need to provide for them as they come on board and going out to different projects or different job sites. So we try to we'll set them up, we'll look at what they have, evaluate, and either conduct it in-house or send it to an off-site provider if we need to and make sure that they're qualified training-wise to go out on the on whatever job site they're going to. That's fortunate in our office. We get to see, at one point or another, we're going to see all the employees that come through. And so we deal with a lot, and that's what we were kind of talking about, staying busy a while ago. Our department, the HSE department here, we're dealing with, current employees or new hire employees, every single day. So we're fortunate enough to be able to see them coming and going. So it's a great opportunity. We enjoy it.
So apparently Beth cannot stay away from this show, even on her vacation. She sent me an email about talking about, wanted you to mention, you guys have a new stretching program that, three stretch breaks a week or something. I don't know. Why don't you explain it?
I know that, Beth had spent time, her last, I want to say last week or the week before, time just blur in my head. When Beth was here, boy, she was, you talk about dedicated. Now she would get up and be here for the 6 a.m. safety meetings that we had. Our guys will start work at 6 a.m. And I thought it was great. I should have used Jason's bit as a segue into it as far as when he was, highlighting stretching. flexibility a while ago. But Beth's gotten out with our shops and gone through some stretching routines for the guys to utilize, you know, as part of their safety meetings in the morning prior to starting work. You know, we've got, you know, an opportunity. They're all together there. Now it's, you know, it takes a special person to get some of the guys up and moving a little bit, but it's just simple stretches that allow for, you know, a wide range of individuals to be able to complete or do those stretches and things that they can do at home and take home with them and continue to stretch and become flexible. I know that Beth had met with them, that last week and went through the stretches with different areas of our shops in hopes that, you know, they would continue to conduct those stretches before work. At least, I believe you said at least 3 days a week is what she had alluded to. So, I mean, you know, and that's the thing, you know, even at that, each time they take a break, you know, once you sit down, you stop working, you sit down, I mean, you go back to the any type of sports that you compete in. I mean, you know, in football, you got a halftime. You need to stretch when you come out of it, you know. Basketball, the same thing, you know.
Everything, any, yeah.
Yeah, any event that you go into, you compete for a while, then you take a break. Well, when you come back, you need to stretch. So it really makes sense. I think it would be a great opportunity for our guys to participate in that and hopefully prevent injuries and things like that from occurring.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a great thing you guys are doing, and because I know firsthand it is so hard to get people motivated to stretch.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think of back in the days when I was an athlete, or probably when you were an athlete, I mean, you didn't even think about it. And it's, you know, now, you know, Jason was alluding to it, how important with what he does with wrestling, how important flexibility is. And it's just so key, but it's so hard to tell someone, look, if you do these for 15 minutes and you'll feel better, but that can be a tough sell trying to get the really out of shape person in the stretching. So, a good work what you're doing. Good for you guys.
It is. Oh, well, you know, hey, the fact that you know, and like we talked about leading by example. You know, that was a fact. You know, talking about Jason and you know, by how he works out, how he eats and his nutrition and what he does. You know, obviously he looks like somebody who's in shape. So he'd be somebody that you would want to ask those questions and leading by example. And, you know, what better? I mean, Beth got here in the mornings at 6 a.m., you know, and, you know, it's hard to get up and get going that early in the morning, but, you know, get the guys up and going that early in the morning. You know, some of them, you know, they got dressed and, you know, somebody dropped them off in a parking lot and they looked up and said, oh, I'm here again, you know. So it's tough, you know, but, you know, when they got somebody that's pushing them like Beth was and encouraging them and, you know, showing them the way, then hopefully it can become a normal process that, you know, incorporate into a daily routine before you start work and before you go out and engage or when you get up before, you know, after break time or lunch time, et cetera. So it's a great opportunity. Great opportunity.
Maybe that should be our, for the show, maybe that should be our challenge of the week. People can go on to Facebook because we like to do that every week, like either our tip of the week or our challenge of the week. They can go on to Facebook and say, I'm taking the challenge, and maybe we'll even scale it back even more. We'll say, you know, take every day for 2 to 3 minutes, go ahead and stretch.
There you go.
And see, you know what I mean? We kind of go back to the real basics. I tell people things like that. Hey, you know what? Stretch for 2 minutes. We're not going to make you stretch for 15 minutes because let's, you know, baby steps. But
yeah.
So I think that's a good challenge for the week is to do that. But yeah, you know, it's funny. He made an interesting mention, you know, when he says he toured in Japan and that's a major stretching is such a huge thing for them. I noticed that when I did martial arts, when I was doing Taekwondo, which is, you know, Korean form,
right.
You stretch for 20 minutes at the beginning of the class, and it when you're first getting started, it's painful. I mean, stretching can hurt.
Oh yes, yes it does.
It can, for old guys like you and me.
Yeah. And, you know, that ought to tell you something too. You know, you want an indicator on what kind of shape you're in. You know, if you can do a few mild stretches and the next day you're sore, you know, that's a pretty good indicator. You know, and that's like my wife the other day. We were helping with some post-prom stuff for my youngest, and we were doing an event and a game that they were doing at this deal, and all it involved for us was we were bending over and picking up stuff after they were through. So we were, you know, we were on a cleanup crew, so we're bending over real quick, picking up. But then, and the next day, she was, I remember I heard her say, "I don't know why I'm so sore." And I said, and I'm laughing, I'm saying that, but did I tell you something? You know, all you were doing was bending down, picking up something, standing up. And, you know, when's the last time you were doing squats with your legs, you know, and getting in that position,
right?
You know? And yeah, it tells you that you need to listen to your body. You need to be stretching more and doing more activities that incorporate those muscles. And it is. It's funny. The older you get, the more you hurt. That's right.
Did your old, I think you met, I love this name, so I'm going to mention it again. Did your old football coach, who was it, Earl
Coach
Buckingham?
Buck.
Or,
yeah.
Did Coach Buck, did he preach stretching, or did he just yell at you?
Yeah, he made you stretch. Yeah, he made you. No, he was, you know what, what's funny is after we talked about him, my wife had actually, after she heard on the radio, she went and reached out through her Facebook or something and found a picture of him that was posted, like, you know, the other day, and she showed it to me, and he's in the weight room. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning, and he's in the weight room. And
how old is he now?
Coach Buck is, you know, Coach Buck has got to be, I mean, he's got to be in his early, you know, mid-50s. I mean,
does he have that good football coach look, like the bad flat top, shaved real tight?
He looks no different than he did when, you know, 25 years ago. I mean, he looks the same. It was amazing when I looked at it. I'm like, time stood still for him, you know. But, I mean, he always did that. And, yes, stretching and flexibility and, you know, we used to preach that, especially when you're dealing with athletes who you're trying to not only affect their fast twitch fibers and muscles that you're trying
sure.
to incorporate. You know, we were talking about, you know, the more flexible you are, the faster you're going to be. And that's what we always communicate to them. And so we would always encourage the stretch. But it's one of the toughest things for a lot of people to do is to sit down and stretch on a daily basis. Because, like you said, sometimes it is a little bit painful.
Oh, and since our theme this week is kind of positive thinking, the power of positive thinking, did you find that with Coach Buck he was positive when he was grabbing your face mask and yelling at you?
Oh, he was positive that he was right, yes.
Hey, there were a lot of four-letter words that had to be interpreted as positive.
Yes, but see, that was what the great thing about Coach Buck. Coach Buck never heard him say a curse word. Never.
Oh, good. That's good.
Coach Buck was the only person that I've ever been around, or you know, I can't say the only, but I mean, Coach had a talent for getting his point across and putting the fear into you with never saying a bad word, you know,
that's
an
good
ugly word. And it was impressive. It was impressive. And he was something else, man. I tell you what, it's funny. I've got some more stories I have to tell you off the air, but about it. But it's hilarious, the kind of guy he was. But yeah, he was a motivator. He was a motivator.
Yeah, and it's good to be around. And you know, as we kind of wrap things up, it's good to be around people that I think at the end of the day, even if you're having kind of a sluggish workout day, I still think that there's that positive mojo. If you can have some kind of positive energy
mm-hmm.
in your life, I think that's a good thing too. And I think that's a great motivator. And that's what I would challenge people too, is kind of do what I did last weekend and take a day sometime. Doesn't have to be a weekend, but just a day where you just don't worry about anything. And it's amazing what that can do. I I'm a big believer in that. So
right.
I think that should be part of your – maybe that should be part of your wellness program over out there. What do you think?
Stress-free day. Don't worry about anything.
Exactly.
I'd like to be in that place. I volunteer to go there.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we're running out of time. Thanks for filling in. You can come back and you can fill in anytime. And when Beth sends the picture of her eating a Krispy Kreme with her with a selfie stick, I want that posted on the PES website or whatever you guys do.
Yes, that will be awesome. That will be.
She is just a gluttonous donut eater.
Yes, I know. She'll probably she'll probably have glazed icing stuck on the windshield of the car the side,
right.
You know, just like a bad event took place, yeah. I know, that's great. Like, I mess with her all the time about donuts. Anytime she calls here, I'll say, hold on, Beth, I've got to order my donut first.
Yeah, that's funny. Hey, thanks for coming on, though, man. I appreciate it, and have a good rest of the week, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you back here next week. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.